Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our epistle reading from Philippians chapter 2. And our focus this morning is on these words that St. Paul wrote, but made himself nothing. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, once again, how wonderful it is to gather to hear the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this word, to work faith in our hearts, and work love in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of the cross, that's what we're focusing on this Lenten series. And we've been looking at worldly power. We've been looking at the godly power that Jesus brings into this world and how we are kind of caught in the middle as there is a struggle where we give in to worldly power, but also where Jesus gives us his godly power, the power of the cross. So we've been looking at various ways that this manifests itself. Last week was all about not my will, but your will be done. This week, we're looking at the words emptying oneself. And to kind of get us going, I want to ask you a question. What do Mike Lindell, Chris Harrison, Chris Hodges, and Dr. Seuss have in common? Well, if you've been keeping up with any of the news in recent months, you know that these gentlemen have become canceled. I didn't want to use the word victim, but they've become a victim of cancel culture. And you guys know what cancel culture is. It's where someone is using their power and their influence to pretty much silence someone else, to get rid of them. So Mike Lindell is the creator of MyPillow. But because he expressed certain viewpoints, he is no longer able to sell MyPillow in certain stores. Chris Harrison, he's the longtime host of the ABC show The Bachelor. But apparently he made some comments about one of the contestants, and now he just barely was able to save his job at all. Chris Hodges is a megachurch pastor down in the South who all he did was like a tweet. But because he liked that tweet, his lease for his worship services at the local public schools was canceled, and partnerships for his nonprofits were also stopped as well. And Dr. Seuss, well, apparently some of his books represented races in a certain unfavorable light, and now they're being pulled from shelves and not being able to be sold. I'm not here to debate whether they should have been canceled or not. What I'm saying is that cancel culture is a use of worldly power to cause someone to lose their reputation, to lose their status in society, to lose the good opinions of others. And you and I know what that's like, right? Ooh, we don't want to lose our reputation among others. We want to keep it. We want to build it. We want to lift it up and get higher in the eyes of others. So that's why we use our power, the things that we say, the things that we do, in order to enhance our reputation, to build it up, to get others to exalt us in some way, shape, or form. You know, that's why all of our interactions with other people, you know, we kind of want to interact with people so that, you know, they look at us and think, okay, this person's all right. Good job. You know, we want to put things on social media that will get the most likes or get the most loves. We want as many followers, influencers, as we can get so that we will be elevated in the eyes of others. And that's fine. Except there's a few problems with this. Three, to be exact. The first problem is that because we are sinners by nature, we can end up canceling others. We look at them, we see how good a reputation they have, we see how people are lifting them up, possibly even higher than you, and you start to get a little insecure. So what do? You end up trying to bring them down, trying to ruin their reputation. Second problem, however, is also that because we are sinners by nature, it's inevitable that we will be canceled. For all of the trying to put some kind of perfect veneer on our lives, show everyone that things are going great, that people should speak well of us, inevitably we will say or do something that will disappoint others. We will fail. We will give in to sin, and suddenly our status among them plummets. But then there's the third reason, third problem that undergirds both of those. Because we are sinful by nature, we are selfish by nature. We are self-seeking. Therefore, we're only going to say and do things that elevate us, that cause people to exalt us, and therefore we avoid saying and doing humble things, things that may go against the grain, things that may not show up on your social media news feed, things that won't get you exalted in the eyes of others. Well, if there is anyone that deserves to be exalted above anyone else, it's Jesus, right? I mean, after all, he's God. And not just God, he's God in the flesh. And not just God in the flesh, look what he did when he was among us in the flesh. I mean, he was teaching the word of God, and he was silencing the Sadducees, and he was infuriating the Pharisees because he was coming guns blazing with full-on grace for everyone. Oh, and he didn't just speak well. Oh, no. He also healed people. He cast out demons. He walked on water. He stilled the storm. He raised the dead. Oh, talk about filling your news feed. And people loved it. I mean, they were praising him. This is the most amazing thing we've ever heard. This is the most amazing thing we've ever seen. Worthy of exaltation. And yet Jesus rejected worldly status. He did not use his godly power to polish his reputation. He did not try to elevate himself in the eyes of others. No. Instead, he sought to put others ahead of himself. He didn't look toward his own interests. He looked toward the interests of others. And this is clearly seen in our gospel reading this morning from John 13. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, and even though he knew that he was from God, that he was going back to God, even though he knew he was the Word made flesh who dwelled among us, even though he knew that he and the Father were one, equal with God, he got up from dinner, removed his outer robe and put a towel around his waist, got a basin of water, and he stooped down and washed his disciples' dusty, dirty feet. This was something so degrading, so humiliating, and so lowly that not even the lowliest slave of the household back in that day had this duty, washing the master's feet. No, and everyone knew it. Everyone knew it, both Jesus and his disciples. That's why Peter said, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet. I mean, come on, Jesus. You're my Lord. You're my master. You're never going to do this. And yet Jesus did it anyway without any regard for the praise of others, for how it looked on his news feed, for any kind of status or reputation. No, he did this because if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. He did this because if I wash your feet, you should wash each other's feet. He did this because blessed are you if you know these things. See, washing the disciples' feet was just a textbook example of Jesus emptying himself. You know, even though he was God, he was in the form of God, he was equal with God, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped, to be held onto. He wasn't trying to maintain his status. He wasn't trying to elevate his reputation. Instead, as St. Paul says it, he made himself nothing. Literally, emptying himself. Taking on the form of a servant, becoming one of us, a human being. And as one of us, he humbled himself even further, serving us by becoming obedient to death. And not just any death, but death on a cross. One of the most horrible ways to die in human history. A punishment that was so severe back in the day that it was only reserved for the lowliest of slaves and the most horrific of criminals. At the cross, Jesus was canceled. He had no status. He had no reputation. He literally was empty. But because Jesus emptied himself, because of his death at the cross, because he rejected worldly status and reputation, God exalted him higher than anyone. He has a name higher than any other name. His status is now Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. His reputation, a humble servant. No wonder his news feed is filled with all kinds of praise, filled with every knee bowing down before him, filled with every tongue confessing that Jesus is Lord. That's the power of the cross. You see, because Jesus emptied himself there, you and I are exalted in God's eyes. Doesn't matter. You may have the worst reputation as a sinner. You may have the reputation of canceling others, constantly looking out for their faults, constantly looking out for their sins, and blasting them for it, trying to tear them down, trying to make yourself look good. You may have a reputation of being canceled, that your sins are so bad, that your failures and disappointments, people are just blasting you, shunning you, shaming you. But because of Jesus, because of his death at the cross, you are lifted high in God's sight. Yes, once you were a lowly sinner, now you are an exalted holy one, a saint of God. Once you were canceling others, trying to deflect your own sinfulness onto them, but now you are a new creation in Christ. You no longer look through the eyes of the flesh, you look through the eyes of Jesus himself at others. Once you were canceled, and not just by others, but by God, deserving nothing but death and punishment. But now, Jesus has canceled your sin completely. You are now a child of God. You are now a son and a daughter of the King. That's why we bow down. That's why we kneel before Jesus. That's why we shout his praises constantly for everything that Jesus has done for you and me. And that's also why we have the same mind as Jesus. That's what Paul says. Have the same mind as Jesus Christ. Some translations have same attitude. It means same thoughtful planning and processing for action, what you will say, what you will do. When you are brought under the power of the cross, you reject the need for worldly status and approval and instead base your entire reputation on what Jesus does for you and through you. You see, when you have the same mind as Christ, you're no longer self-seeking. You're no longer being selfish. No, you now look to others. You look to others' needs. When you are brought under the power of the cross, you no longer seek to cancel others. You're no longer trying to blast them and nitpick them to enhance your reputation among others. No, Jesus has emptied you of that. And he now forms you as his servants who humbly love others in his name. And that's all because under the power of the cross, you no longer hide your sins for fear of being canceled. You confess them, trusting that Jesus has covered a multitude of sins with his love. You see, that's the power of the cross. That's the godly power that Jesus brings into this world of cancel culture, of status and reputation, where everyone is scrambling to be exalted in the eyes of others. Because this is a power of emptying oneself, a power that rejects all of that status and reputation and the need for approval from others, because you have been filled with the one who emptied himself. For Mike Lindell, for Chris Harrison, for Chris Hodges, for Dr. Seuss, for you, and for me at the cross. Amen.